is Yukon North of Ordinary. I'm Karen McCall. If you've ever searched for northern-themed books online, you've likely come across a bunch of images of sultry couples making eyes at each other, likely with a scenic backdrop of mountains, lakes, and wilderness. There are plenty of romance books set in Alaska and a few Yukon-inspired Harlequins, too. What is it about the North that gets the heart beating a little quicker? That's what Haley Ritchie wanted to find out. The journalist wrote about this for the spring issue of Yukon North of Ordinary magazine. As part of her research, she read three romance novels set in the Yukon and Alaska. And she's here to tell us what she learned. Well, what about the topic of romance novels intrigued you?
Where I got the idea for the story was a romance novel found me, and it was a romance novel about a dog musher and a photojournalist who meet at the Yukon Quest in the Yukon. So as a photojournalist and a lesbian who lives in the Yukon, I had to read this book, and that kind of had me looking into more romance novels, and it turns out there's a lot of romance novels set in Alaska and the Yukon.
Were you surprised by how many there are?
I was shocked by how many there are, and the diversity too. Like, everybody you can think of has apparently had a romance in the Yukon in these novels. There was hundreds, and they're well read too. Like, they had lots of reviews. People really enjoy reading stories up here.
And they also have like very cutesy names like Love in Alaska and The Good View or something. I don't know, I was just Googling them.
Lots of things about ice and snowflakes and gold and, you know, you name it. All the Yukon tropes.
Yeah, let's talk about those tropes in a minute. But first, let's talk about some of your research. So you read a book by author Barbara Dunlop. Barbara's actually, she's a heavy hitter in the world of romance. She's written 70 books, and she's a Yukoner, too. So she writes books, though, about areas down south, the lower 48, and Alaska, Yukon. What did she say when you asked her why the North is a good setting for romance novels?
Yeah, she had a lot of thoughts on that because she's written in settings all over the place. And she lived in Vancouver and she's lived in and around Whitehorse for a long time. And she had a few thoughts on what makes it so enticing, I think, for a lot of people. And this can drive us a little bit crazy as Yukoners because we're real people who live here and Whitehorse functions like any other city. But for a lot of people who haven't been here, it's a pretty exotic location. Sometimes it's cold and it's dark and then we have the midnight sun and some interesting, you know, adventurous, exciting people live up here. So it's an exciting setting for people who've never been here and are curious about it.
I think, and she also, or you mentioned something in your article, something about angst, like it's easy to create angst in the Yukon.
Yeah, so I learned during these interviews that angst is critical to romance novels. They usually have a happy ending, but there's got to be some struggle to get there or you wouldn't have a book. So it was explained to me by all three authors that the Yukon's also a good place for this angst. A couple of the characters are fish out of water. They come up here and they don't quite understand how everything works. They feel out of place and they run into conflict with some of their lovers and the other characters. Because it can be a tough place to just arrive and get used to. There's a lot of challenges if you're not used to how things work up here.
The land of extremes.
Yeah. Very, you know, minus 40 is a tough sell for a lot of people.
In Barbara Dunlop's Match Made in Paradise series, what's the main plot line there?
So the main plot line, a bit larger than life, but a fun story to insert yourself in. Mia Westberg is a supermodel who's high up in the echelons of the fashion world. And her husband passes away and the paparazzi are on her tail. So she's forced to go to remote Alaska to visit her cousin in order to escape the paparazzi. So while she's there, she's a fashion mogul. So she comes with all these clothes and she has to leave her suitcases behind. And she doesn't exactly fit in her high heels and her high fashion dresses. So that creates a lot of tension. But she meets a handsome bush pilot, Silas, and they don't get along at first. But it turns out she might have a little more substance than he thinks. And he has more of a heart of gold than is her first impression. So that's the plot of that one, Match Made in Paradise.
And early on in the book, he makes her leave some of her luggage behind. Is that right?
That's how they start off on the wrong foot. He doesn't have enough space in the bush plane to carry all her stuff.
The other authors you read books from, K.A. Tucker, she lives in Toronto. Patty Schramm lives in Europe. And those authors hadn't actually been to the North when they were writing some of these books. What, did that surprise you?
It It did, I think. I mean, you can do a lot of research from far away, but it's a struggle, and people are really going to analyze your writing. So I asked, because Barbara Dunlop obviously has lived up here for a long time. She's got a bush pilot husband. I asked her in other novels that you've read that are set up here, have you ever noticed anything is off? And she mentioned a book where someone mentioned picking up the reins to a dog sled. And of course, dog sleds don't have reins, but you wouldn't necessarily know that. Yeah, some people don't even know the light difference, that it's pretty dark here during the winter and pretty light during the summer. So a lot of research to get all that stuff right. I think it's probably harder than even making up your own world.
Were there, on the flip side, were there moments when you're reading any of these books by these three authors when you're like, oh, that's something like super relatable or like, yeah, that you kind of laughed at?
Yeah, I thought it was a bit sad. There were sad parts of the book, but I thought Kathleen Tucker really captured how difficult it is to spend your first winter up here when you haven't lived up here. I struggled with that. It was cold and dark, and I wasn't ready for it. And she did a good job capturing that. The main character's mother lived up here, fell in love up here, and then couldn't hack it. Wasn't happy up here. So she really captured how tough that is and how much you want to stay. But it's a challenge that gets the best of some folks.
I was reading a online description of one of Patty Schramm's books, Sarah's Choice, and it was talking about how the main character, a woman, was seeing her ex on every street corner. And that just made me chuckle because I'm like, oh, that's such a Yukon thing.
Yeah, we've all had that experience up here.
Conversely, were there some moments where you're like in any of the books where you're kind of just like not quite convinced that it was authentically North?
I mean, it was actually what I loved about Patty's book, but it's in the article. She inserts both a lesbian bar and a climbing gym in Whitehorse, and wishful thinking for me anyway. But I like that. There's some poetic license you can take with the locations. So each author made it their own a little bit too. There's some fantasy elements in romance novels.
Kathleen and Patty talked about the amount of research they put into, because they didn't have the local knowledge, to learning more about the setting. And like Patty was using like satellite imagery and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, she went for walks on Google Maps to find out where the Quanlin Dunn Center is in comparison to, you know, Baked Coffee House. She tried to get the lay of the land without being here. So I thought that was pretty cool.
K.A. Chucker, she writes a bunch of novels as well. Her northern series is The Simple Wild. And you read one of, or that's The Simple Wild is the name of the book.
Yeah, The Simple Wild is the first one. So it's a series set in Western Alaska, actually. And so it starts off in Toronto, which is where the author lives. And her main character, Calla, has kind of a complicated backstory. Her parents are divorced. She was born in Alaska, but ends up moving to Toronto. She has an estranged relationship with her dad, and she finds out her dad has cancer. And so he invites her to come to Alaska. And she's having kind of her own romance problems in the city. So she says, shoot, let's go for it. And so it's really about her journey there. She also meets a handsome bush pilot, but she's, reluctant to follow in her mom's footsteps. Her mom couldn't hack it in the north. So it's about her journey there. And it's very good. It's very emotional, as well as being romantic and angsty, of course.
So what was the conflict with her and the bush pilot? What were they, love at first sight, or did they have some tension?
They were also enemies to lovers. Enemies might be a strong word, but they really don't get along. There's a whole bunch of assumptions made, I think, on either end. And they're also just, in both books, it's like, well, how do we make this work? They're two very different people with different lives, very different places. I won't spoil it. But that's part of the negotiation. When you fall in love with somebody far away, how do you make that work?
That series of Kathleen Tucker, there's multiple books, I believe. So
there are, yeah.
So when you got to the end, there must have been a cliffhanger, which you don't have to tell us about. But
I won't spoil it. But there is a cliffhanger. I believe the first two books are about Calla and Jonah, her bush pilot, and how they make things work. And then the later books bring in some other characters and kind of build that world out a little bit.
And which of Patty Schramm's books did you read?
I read Finding Gracie's Glory. So there's three books in her series right now. They all follow different couples, but they're a little bit interrelated. Again, in Patty's books, there's a whole lot more gay women in the North than I was aware of, but I kind of like that. And so in the first ones, she was actually inspired by the gold mining reality television shows that are filmed up here. So they both take place in a gold mining operation, and these two women meet and fall for each other, but they also have their angst. They've had their hearts broken. One was in an abusive relationship, so it's really about rebuilding trust and overcoming those external challenges, even though initially they're quite attracted to each other. But again, that's kind of relatable, is having your heart broken and having to repair that with another person.
Was there anything in Patty's books about just any of the challenges of being gay in the North in general, outside of the relationship aspect?
It's pretty smooth sailing in this book in particular, but it was really interesting. I had a conversation with Patty in one of her other novels. She has a character who's black, and she had a friend read this book over, and her friend, I think a little bit sarcastically and gently, said, "Oh, it's interesting that there's apparently no racism in the Yukon." Patty said that really made her reflect and question that had really taken her reader out of the book, that she hadn't written any of those challenges in. So I think there's a balance there. It's a really optimistic genre. People read it for escapism. So a lot of us don't want to read about COVID-19 and romance, for example. You know, you also want to make sure you're capturing those experiences, making that relatable and realistic.
Did that take you out of the book at all, just sort of the smooth sailing aspect?
I found it kind of nice, actually, you know. Life can certainly be challenging sometimes. So I kind of liked that the novels were lighthearted. And Patty and I talked about this idea of a meet cute or finding love in a small town without the help of Tinder. And sometimes that feels like a bit of a fantasy these days, but it's a nice fantasy. It's nice to explore that in a story. It makes it more fun.
A meet cute is when you meet in real life, is that right?
Yeah, when you have a cute story, your origin story.
You said Patty got intrigued about the North based on the gold mine and shows and stuff. What about Kathleen Tucker when she hadn't been to the North? What intrigued her about this location?
I believe for Kathleen, she followed a number of blogs about people who had made that journey. They either, you know, grew up in Alaska or had moved to Alaska. And so she was following blogs and she was really inspired by some of these challenges that people were going through, trying to start a garden in remote Western Alaska or, you know, dealing with the dark. And she deliberately chose a place that is not on the fantasy radar for a lot of people. Western Alaska, it's not the big mountains and dramatic scenery. It's a little more remote. So I thought that was really interesting. She did a lot of research to get that place right. And she heard from her readers that she'd done a pretty decent job. So that's quite an accomplishment.
She chose a fictional town, right? But the setting was Western Alaska. And so people from that area would know what's right and not.
That's right. Yeah. I think Patty was actually quite brave in picking an actual city and trying to figure out how life works there. The two other novelists made up a town so they could get away with, you know, making up a few details.
Yeah, even Barbara, who's from here, chose to use a fictional
Paradise, place. Alaska.
And she's got how many books about that location? Is that a series as well?
There's a couple. Yeah, I believe it's up to three. Yeah, there may be a fourth one. They're actually available at the White Horse Library if you're curious to check them out. But yeah, and again, they're all on different side characters. So Mia's cousin, Raven, has a whole book dedicated to her and her romance, which is very different from Mia and Silas.
What were some of the other like tropes or like cliches that appeared in these books? You mentioned fish out of water. Were there any other ones?
Yeah, I was surprised by how candid the authors were about cliches, because I always think of that as a bad thing. But in the romance novel genre, it's not. There's all these repetitive storylines that really change with the setting and the characters, fitting them into these. So fish out of water is one thing that came up a lot in the Yukon, where it's where someone doesn't fit in. They're vulnerable. They're a new person in a new place, and they have to figure it out. Enemies to lovers was another trope that I heard about a lot. So in two of these books, the city girls show up, and they do not get along with the bush pilots that they eventually fall in love with, which again is that angst, that it's sort of critical, the journey to get to love. It's not always straightforward.
Yeah, talking about cliches like the bush pilot man and mm-hmm. the city girl woman, I imagine that's fairly common in some of these romances. And Patty Schramm writes about gay women, so it's not so easy to gender stereotype when you're writing about two women. Did you notice a big difference with that?
In a lot of ways, I mean, yeah, when you're looking at lesbian relationships or gay relationships, it's a bit of a clean slate because you can't fall back on those. So it's an interesting question. I think there were differences. In the three novels that I happened to pick, it is this fish out of water, city woman coming up and more of a rugged man. I think what you would think a romance novel would be. And in Patty's novel, both her women are quite capable and rugged. They're working on mining operations. But both Barbara Dunlop and K.A. Tucker's novels, too, do have, like, I don't think they describe their female characters as, you know, helpless. They're both very confident women, and there are a lot of, you know, bush smart women in those books, too. So I wouldn't say the three that I picked, I wouldn't say they were too stereotypical, but yeah, you get to have a lot of diversity when you bring in all these different characters, different possibilities.
What were some of the more romantic scenes in the story or settings?
Yeah, it was mentioned to me that the, you know, the Northern Lights are very romantic, and I think that's true. Northern Lights never get old for me. I'm really happy to have a mug of hot chocolate and watch those in the front seat of my car with somebody. Also, just the snow and the idea of cabins. I think there's this like remoteness that maybe not so true in White Horse, maybe a little exaggerated, but for people outside the Yukon, there's this idea of, you know, curling up with the wood stove or having to figure out a dry cabin. So those appear in the books a lot, that people have to figure that out, and there's a romance to that for sure.
I think even for those of us who live like the city life in White Horse, you know, there's this romance to going to a cabin. But sometimes that makes me laugh because I think, you know, people who live at cabins who are like hauling their own water and constantly chopping wood, and they're like, this is not what it's all cracked out to be.
Full time. It's tough. But they are nice when someone else is doing the wood chopping.
Definitely. Or, yeah, exactly.
When you bring your burly bush pilot, and, you know,
exactly.
Leave that to them.
Was there anything else that surprised you in any of these novels?
I think just the creativity involved in all of them. Like, it's so obvious, the amazing amount of work that goes into them. I think romance novels get the short shrift sometimes that they're not, you know, incredible works of literature. But actually, like, so much effort goes into it. And all the authors I spoke to were really passionate about giving their reader a really good experience and making the characters, some of them are larger than life, but making their emotions and the drama they go through really relatable. And all that research that goes into the settings too. Yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to be trying my hand at writing a romance novel anytime soon. It's a huge amount of work. So much thought goes into them and so much creativity. I love that.
That was going to be my final question for you, but we'll move it up. So if you were going to write a romance novel, what setting would you pick?
I know. Now that you mentioned how hard it is to live full time in a cabin, I don't want to be like the typical White Horse person being, oh, a little cute cabin. But I think the most romantic scene in the Yukon is being curled up by the wood stove. There's nothing better.
Yeah, it's true. It is pretty nice. I guess like maybe dog mushing too, but I mean, that's like an activity.
Yeah. Skiing, not when your partner's teaching you, but once you know how, that's nice too, right? Getting outside, you know, a fresh blanket of snow and then it makes the whole landscape quiet. Something very romantic about that.
When people read romance novels, I think there's an expectation about living happily ever after, happy endings. Is that something that came to life in these stories?
Yeah, I think so. You know, all of them wrap up pretty happily in the end, if not neatly. And that was something all three authors mentioned to me too, that's a real thing in the genre, is that readers expect most of the loose ends to be tied up and for two people to end up together. And I think that's a big part of the genre. It's very optimistic about these things. And, you know, there's all this angst and all this struggle. And a lot of the characters have very relatable things that happen to them. You know, Calla's parents are divorced and she struggles with her relationship with her dad. And, you know, a lot of us fantasize about what our life would be if it was a little more adventurous or a little more dramatic or fraught. But all of us sooner or later bump into some of those emotions, and they're quite disruptive to your life. They're a struggle. So it's really fun in these novels to explore those emotions and get a bit carried away in that fantasy, but know that things are going to be okay in the end, which is a lot harder to make happen sometimes in real life. We struggle with that for sure. So I think that's what people are looking for, an adventure and some uncertainty and that angst, but knowing that things are going to be okay in the end.
Yeah, I guess, is that why you think people are interested in these romance novels, even though there's that predictability to them, but it's just that they like the optimism.
Yeah, it's a draw for excitement. And some of them are a little bit self-insert, like a lot of literature that's enjoyable to read is like that, right? I think as a kid, a lot of us read Harry Potter and imagined what it would be like to be a wizard. And then you get a bit older and sometimes you think, oh, if only I were a little bit more beautiful or a little bit more charismatic or a little more intelligent, or if people could see my best self, then I could have these fantastical romance. And there's a lot of magic in everyday life. But it's nice to stretch it a little bit and have these adventures and all these, not perfect characters, but a little more exciting. It's a little more the volume on life turned up in these novels. So I think that's part of the appeal. Yeah, it still feels a little bit like real life, but it's a bit fantastical. So that's a lot of fun for people to get carried away with without dealing with the real life consequences of having to move your life from downtown Toronto to Western Alaska because you met the love of your life there.
That's one thing Barbara Dunlop mentions as well, is people who live in other parts of Canada say, but like reading about the North because it feels, as you mentioned earlier, it feels exotic to them or different and they haven't been there, but it's still sort of, it's still within Canada or North America. So it still feels like somewhat relatable.
They can imagine themselves there a little easier maybe than across the globe or a lot of people. And of course, you know this if you live in the Yukon and you mention it to Canadians all over the place or people internationally. People have a huge amount of curiosity about the North. And sometimes that's sort of some problematic tropes or it's a fantasy for a lot of people. And we get a bit tired of that up here. But it is a really interesting place to live with a slightly different culture. So yeah, it's in the same country, in the same continent, but it offers something different. It really captures people's imaginations and their curiosity.
After reading these three novels, how do you feel about the fantasy genre?
You know, I wasn't a huge romance novel fan when I started the article. My most vivid memory of romance novels is when I was a kid and sort of flipping through for the saucy bits and some things don't change. But yeah, I've got a new eye for them now. I read a lot of nonfiction and it's been a while since I was a kid and could just devour novels, but these were really fun to pick up and read through and get invested in the characters. You know, even if you can't relate to supermodel Mia, really wanted to know how Mia and Silas were going to make things work. So yeah, a lot of fun to read. I think I might find a few more.
Well, great. Thank you so much for coming in to tell us about the world of romance and romance novels.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
That's it for this episode of Yukon North of Ordinary, the podcast. Please share this episode and leave us a review. It really helps. Subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts. You can also subscribe to our print magazine by going to northofordinary.com. While you're there, check out Yukon North of Ordinary merchandise. And for a full product line, visit the Bricks and Mortar Store in Whitehorse, located on the corner of 2nd Avenue and Steele Street, across from City Hall. There's a great selection of clothing, hats, stickers, glassware, and more. Do you have something to say about this episode? We'd love to hear from you. Find us on social media at North of Ordinary. You can also contact me, Karen McCall, with feedback or story ideas. editor@northofordinary.com is my email. Thanks to the whole team at North of Ordinary Media. Our podcast artwork is by art director Manu Kegenhoff. Our music is by Headcandy and tribeofnoise.com. Thanks for listening. We have another episode coming out soon. I hope you listen in.